Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians 6, and we're going to continue there in verse 10 here in just a minute, as we're just continuing our series through Ephesians, and we're in our final chapter as we're kind of winding things down. I'm going to talk about the armor of God, but I want to first tell you a story this morning, and it's a story of a soldier back in Vietnam. His name was Don Snow. And he tells of the story of his first night mission. So not only are you now fresh into Vietnam and in the Battle of Vietnam, but now you are going on, he's going on his first night mission, okay? And you know, at night, things play tricks with you. You know, little kids at night, you know, there's a monster in my closet, there's something underneath my bed, you know, those things when you're in the night. Well, this is his first night mission. And he talks about heading out, and they're heading out, and they come into this old town that seems somewhat abandoned. And he talks about kind of coming up along this fence, kind of taking cover, looking through as he's going into this town. And he finds himself, you know, your heart kind of racing, you know, it's dark and you're hearing, you know, firing going off in the distance and stuff going on. And he kind of takes a deep breath. And all of a sudden, as he's leaning against this fence, on the other side of the fence, he hears a deep breath. And now his heart really begins to race. It's like, what's on the other side of this fence? How many are on the other side of this fence? And as he takes a step a little bit closer down the fence, on the other side, he hears a step taken. And now his heart is racing, and he's thinking, oh my goodness, this is it. This is my training. This is what I've been trained for. And he begins to slip the safety off of his M2 carbine rifle. And he gets to the end of that fence, and he stops again, and he hears breathing, but no steps. And he's thinking to himself, all right, this is what I was trained for. It's them or me, and I've got to do this. And he's ready, and he's geared up. And all of a sudden, he just jumps from around the fence, and he just lets it go, semi-automatic. Bam, 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 bam. And unbeknownst to him, he just killed one of the largest pigs he's ever seen in his life. Here's the thing. The pig never knew what hit him. The fact is, the pig had no idea that he was smack dab in the middle of a battle. And the thing is, a lot of people in this world, and maybe even some of us in this room, are just like that pig. Okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a pig. Okay? All right? Some of us are just like that pig, oblivious to the fact that there's a war raging around us, not realizing the battle that's going on. This morning we're starting a series, jumping into a new series titled Preparing for Battle, as we begin to walk through the armor of God. And as we talk about this battle that we're in, we're going to talk about the armor that God has given us to protect us and help us experience victory in this battle. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 this morning, and stop there as we'll continue in the next few weeks with the armor itself. But it says here, beginning in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This morning we're going to take a look at these three verses and let the Lord just encourage us and challenge us as we look at preparing for battle. As I pointed out earlier, one of the best preparations for battle is simply knowing that you're in the battle, all right? We see casualties every day from people who are just like that pig. They're oblivious to the fact that there's a war going on around them. You see, when we're aware of the dangers around us, we're able to take the precautions necessary to keep us safe. And Paul here is warning us of this battle and telling us that we need to stay safe, that we need God's protection if we're going to win this war. So he starts off here in verse 10 by saying, be strong. be strong. Now, the passive form of the verb be strong in this context indicates that this is not something we do ourselves, okay? It's not pumping weights, you know, to put the muscles on ourselves, okay? It's not something that we do, but rather something that is done for us as Christians, that we can receive that strength. And its present tense tells us that it's something that is continuous. It's something that's continual. So be strong is saying receive strength, receive continual strength from the Lord. Now, it's not referring to this quick fix, you know, that quick strength we get. As a matter of fact, actually, any of you in this room seen We Bought a Zoo? We watched that with our kids a couple weeks ago with our kids. We Bought a Zoo. Pretty cute movie, great movie. But there's a line in there where he talks about 20 seconds of insane courage, okay? And I love the line because he's kind of talking about sometimes just to do something, we just need 20 seconds of insane courage to take that leap, to just do it, to go. And I think in most contexts, I love that statement because there's sometimes where we're afraid and we just need that 20 seconds of insane courage to jump out and trust in the Lord. And I think it's a great saying, but I don't think that that's what Paul is saying in the context here. It's not that quick fix, but it's a life spent drawing strength from the Lord. It's a continual strength in the Lord. Paul is saying here, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And we must know the mighty power and strength of the Lord and draw from His strength, not ours. Because we are weak, but He is strong. We have to draw from His strength because His strength is continuous. His strength never fails. And it's through His strength that we can enter this battle and ultimately experience victory in our lives. He then tells us in verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. And the words put on here are the same words that Paul uses back in Ephesians 4:24 when he tells us to put on the new self. If you've been here as we've walked through this series, you remember we talked about putting off the old and putting on the new. And it's those same words. And the thing we have to realize is it's not physical armor, okay? God's not going to magically give us some, you know, suit of armor like Iron Man if you've seen, you know, the Avengers, okay? It's not this magical suit of armor. It's not a physical suit of armor. It's spiritual. It's literally putting on the character of Christ. Romans 13:14. It says this in Romans 13:14. It says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to clothe ourselves with the things of the Lord. We have to put on the character and the things of the Lord. Now, many of us may be familiar with the saying, clothes make the person. You ever heard that before? Clothes make the man or clothes make the woman. Maybe you've heard that saying, meaning that a person's clothes often define them and who they are, right? Let me just give you some examples here. Let's pop something up on the screen. Tell me if you, from this video, what do you think about that person? If the clothes make the person, right? All right, we don't like to say it because politically correct, but it looks like a nerd, right? I think he's supposed to. That's what he's supposed to look like. All right, how about this next one? When you see this one, what do you think of? Okay? All right, you think of someone stuck back in the 80s, right? Punk rocker. It defines who he is. It's, oh man, you know, we think rebel, we think whatever, you know, all those kind of things. How about this next one? This will take us back, old time, you know? Right? We think cowboy, and not the country music listening, you know, wannabe cowboys, right? This right here, this is a true cowboy right here, okay? The clothes make the person. And then how about this last one right here? Okay, I thought I'd be fair, okay? I originally was just going to put a duck up there, and I thought, okay, we'll be fair here, Oregon and Oregon State, okay? Defines, when you look at them, you know, well, at least one, you know, amazing athlete, okay? You decide which one. I didn't say, you decide which one, okay? One of them you think at least amazing athlete, all right? And some of you have different opinions on that one, and I'm going to leave it at that, okay? But the clothes make the person, right, is what it says. And when we clothe ourselves with the things of the Lord, then we are defined as people of God. Then we are defined as godly people when we put on the character of Christ. But when we clothe ourselves with the things of the world, then we're clothing ourselves with things where people see us and define us as people of the world or worldly people. Paul is telling us that we need to make sure that we're wearing the right clothes. In this battle, we need to be clothed with the right things. Why is it so important that we're clothed with the right things? So as it says there, we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. We need his armor. We need the character of God to withstand the schemes of the devil. Because the reality is, without the armor, we're going to get knocked on our rears. To put it nicely, right? We're going to get knocked on our rears. Because again, the strength comes from the Lord. And from his character and from who he is, not from ourselves. And when we are faithful to clothe ourselves with his armor, then we can stand firm. Because here's what we have to realize in verse 12. It tells us, it lays it out right here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now there are a couple things as we just read that I want to draw out this morning that I want to talk about. And the first thing is this. The first thing is, it just says right from the beginning, our battle is not against man or is not against people. This scripture is about standing up against the temptations of evil. It's not about coming against people. It's not about destroying other people. Our struggle is not with humans, and it's important that we don't make people the enemy, because we do that a lot. You know, we have that nice little saying, hate the sin, but don't hate the sinner, right? The problem is, in our humanness and in our flesh, we hate the sin, and we end up hating the sinner as well. But our battle is not against people. Our battle is spiritual. We always, when we're dealing with people, we got to remember God's grace and God's love. Because the way we deal with people and the way we carry out our battle is a direct reflection of who we are in Christ. So how we deal with people shows people who we are in Christ. Are we clothed with the things of God that walks in love and grace and mercy and care for others? Or are we clothed with the things of the world that show a little different side of us and how we deal with people? Our battle's not against man, and we need to realize that. And the other thing, and when realizing that our battle is not against man, is that we have to realize that our enemy is more powerful than man. You see, I can take out another man with my own strength, okay? Now, not all men, right? But there are men that I can take out other people, other physical people, with my strength, okay? My Marine Corps training has taught me ways to survive against my mortal enemies, okay? My hand-to-hand combat can come in handy in a physical battle against people. But all my training in the world won't do me any good in this war that Paul's talking about. Because it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And this is why we need spiritual power. This is why we need to be clothed with the armor of God. Because only God's armor can withstand the strategies and schemes of the devil. And we need to understand that when we realize our battle is not against people. The second thing that I think we need to be aware of when we talk about this scripture in the spiritual realm is that the enemy will show up when and where we least expect it. Because the devil and the demons aren't flesh and blood, they can move about at times without detection. And they hide in places that oftentimes you would least expect. Believe it or not, one of the most common places that they like to hide out is the church. It's in the church. That's right. Anyone who thinks that the church is the perfect place to come and hide from the enemy is unfortunately mistaken, because the enemy loves to hide in the church. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Pastor J. Vernon McGee. He used to do the Through the Bible on the radio. But I found a quote of his referring to the devil. And he says this. He says, the devil is not out on the town on Saturday nights, right? Because that's what a lot of us think. Oh, it's out partying. He's out doing all that stuff with all these worldly people, right, on Sunday nights, drinking, partying, all that kind of stuff. But he says, the devil is not out on the town on Saturday night. He has gone to bed early so he can get up and go to church on Sunday morning. The spiritual battle is being fought wherever a man is giving out the word of God, where the church is standing for the word of God. That is the place the devil wants to destroy, and that is the place of the spiritual battle. When you hear that, it tells us we got to be aware. We need to have our guard up. We need to know that he'll show up when and where we least expect it. The enemy is out to destroy Christians. Why? Because we're his enemy, right? You always are out to destroy the enemy. We're his enemy. He doesn't care about the non-Christians because he's already got them. He cares about us, and that's why he comes. That's why when we're doing good, yeah, life is good. I just got baptized. I feel good. What happens? Bam, we get nailed because the enemy wants to attack. He doesn't want you to feel good. No, because then you want to keep serving God. He wants to destroy you and get you off track. He starts right here in the church, and it's imperative that we realize this. It's imperative that we don't fall into his traps. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You see, the devil doesn't come knocking on the door and saying, hey, I'm the devil. I'm here to tempt you, right? No, that's not how he works. He hides and he disguises himself. And that's why we need to be aware of this and make sure that we're wearing our armor. That's why the title of this message today is Knowing Your Enemy, realizing that your enemy, he'll masquerade as an angel of light. He'll hide in disguise. He loves to bring gossip. He loves to bring pride and arrogance. He loves to bring backbiting. He loves to bring all these kind of things into the church because it brings division. And the thing is, they have no place here because this is the place of the Lord. We need to be on our guard, and we need to remember that the enemy will pop up anywhere he thinks he can do damage to the Christians and to his church. And it's important that we be aware of that. The third and final thing that I want us to be aware of in the midst of this battle is this, is as we're aware and as we know our enemy, the goal is to avoid evil, not focus on it. Let me say that again. The goal is to avoid evil, not focus on it. I think oftentimes we give the devil way more credit than he deserves. I mean, we see it in our world today. We glorify the demons and we glorify these things. I mean, whether it be, you know, the shows with witchcraft and the shows with you know, vampires and all that mystical realm, we like to glorify it. And we give so much attention to it, and I think we often give the devil way more credit than he deserves. You see, I believe we need to be aware of the devil. We need to know who our enemy is. But I think if we put too much focus on the demonic, it can actually have negative consequences in our life. And I want to share a couple of those consequences that can happen. Two things, as I was just studying, that I really realized when we focus too much on the demonic and too much on the enemy, what it can do. And the first thing is that we focus so much on the demonic that we fail to focus on God. Because we're so worried on this sense that we fail to focus on who we're called to focus on. God should be getting our full attention. When we focus on evil, ultimately we end up destroying ourselves. But when we focus on God, we find life and we find protection from the evil. That's what the armor is all about. We have to make sure that first and foremost, our focus is on the Lord. And then the second thing that can happen when we focus too much on the enemy is that we begin to blame our failures on the devil instead of taking responsibility for our own actions. And this can affect us in all different ways of even not repenting in the way that we should because we don't feel like it's our fault. There's so many ways that this can affect us. You know, we use that phrase, the devil made me do it. If you grew up, I think it was the 70s, Flip Wilson made that phrase popular. The devil made me do it, right? How often do we try to use that line? But here's the thing. Yes, the devil may have tempted you. The devil may have encouraged you to do it. But ultimately, we're the ones that make the decision. The devil's just powerful peer pressure. That's all that the devil is, right? He tries to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. But the fact is that ultimately we have to make the decision. As I was studying these scriptures, I realized that there's a lot of different point of views on the devil and the demonic. Many views on their power and their abilities. How powerful is the demonic? How powerful is the enemy? And there's a lot of different perspectives and takes upon this. And as I really studied and looked, I think you can break it down to about three main views that people have on this subject. The first view is this, is that the demonic forces are as active and as powerful as they were in the days of Jesus. That they believe that just like when Jesus walked the earth, we saw numerous times where he cast out demons and where we saw demonic activity. Many people believe that they're just as strong as they ever were and nothing has changed and they're as powerful as they were back in those times. The second point of view is that they were defeated by Christ and they're no longer active. That it's all mostly in our minds, that we make it, we glorify it too much, and that the fact is they really have no power and there is no activity of the demonic. And then the third point of view is that they were defeated by Christ, and now their activity is limited. They're not as powerful as they were before. They have been defeated, but they still are active, and they still roam, but their power is limited. And now the fact is that when we look at these three points of views, this is one of those non-essentials, okay? And I just want to throw that out. We talk about, you know, in the essentials unity. You know, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, right? That he rose again. Those are things that's what we believe as a church, and we've got to have unity in that. If you disagree with that, then you disagree with who we are as a church, okay? But then it says in the non-essentials, liberty, okay? And this is one of those non-essentials, okay, where what you believe, it really doesn't make a huge difference. You have different perspectives, but I'm going to share with you my perspective, okay? And again, this is my perspective. But here's the thing. When you look at the New Testament and what Christ did on the cross, I think it's hard to believe that they still have the same power that they used to have because Jesus conquered sin and death. And if you remember back in that time, you know, the devil's leading Jesus up above the temple and says, I can give you all these things. He had a lot of power and he had a lot of authority over the world. But when Jesus died on the cross, I believe they lost that power and that authority. And so it's hard to believe that they still have the same power. And so for me, I think view number one doesn't quite make sense to me. But then view number two, when you look at the scriptures of what Paul is telling us right here about a spiritual battle that's going on, it's hard to believe that they're no longer active either because it's like, well, then why would Paul be telling us that we need armor? If they're no longer active, then what's the purpose of the armor? Which leads me to believe, number three, that they're still out there, but they're limited in their capacity. And here's the thing, we can't overlook them, okay? And that's the key. We can't overlook them because they're sneaky, all right? They'll hit you, you know, from behind. They'll stab you in the back. They're those kind of cheating, lying, deceiving kind of whatever you want to call them, creatures that will do anything necessary to try to take you down. But we can't just focus on them because God is the one who deserves our attention. And we need to focus on him. They are out there, I believe that, and there's some power that's there. And sometimes it may rise up higher than others. But ultimately, I think we can't give them too much credit. And we need to seek first and foremost the Lord because he is the one that will be our strength and our covering. You see, it says in the scriptures that when Jesus died, we won the victory. We won the victory. Jesus won it for us on the cross. And so now it's our job to stand strong, to be faithful, to trust in him. And in that, I believe, says to go into all the world, recruit as many as possible onto our team. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be focusing at how do we do that. We're going to be focusing on the armor and putting on the armor and those characteristics of God that will help us stand against the enemy. But today, I want to just encourage you, remember this, that we are in the middle of a battle. We need to know our enemy. But we're called to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Amen. It's funny when I every time I get into and I'm just processing here, you know, that be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, it takes me back to any Petra fans in here that grew up, you know, with Christian music in the 80s. Petra's old Christian band, you know, that rock band that kind of was one of those big bands out there for Christian music back in the 80s. But they had a song, More Power to Ya, okay? And I'm not going to sing it to you, but part of the chorus, or not chorus, I think it's a bridge, who knows what it is, but it said this, it said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on all his armor and fight the good fight. In all of our weakness, he becomes so strong when he gives us the power and the strength to carry on." And that's what it's about. That's what the armor of God is about. It's that strength that the Lord gives us to carry on in this battle. Because the fact is we're still on this earth and we still have an enemy that comes against us, and we have to stay strong, we have to fight, and we have to push through. But here's the cool thing. If we continue to push through and if we continue to faithful to stand firm in who we are and who God is, we've won the victory, and that's what it's about. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we come before you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that your word is to each of us, Lord. And Lord, you bring us your word to make us aware. The fact that one, we need to be aware that we do have an enemy out there that's trying to pull us down and trying to take us in the opposite direction of who you are. And we need to be aware of that, Lord. And we need to be people who clothe ourselves with your armor, Lord, that clothe ourselves with the characteristics of you so that we can withstand those attacks of the enemy. Lord, I know that we fail time and time again, and there are times in our life where we're gonna lose some battles. We're going to lose some battles, but that's okay, Lord, because of your grace and mercy and the fact that in the end we know ultimately we have won the war, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we can rest in that. We can rest in the power of your might and in your strength, Lord Jesus. And so I just pray, Lord, this morning as we talked about being strong, as we talked about the fact that is something that comes from you. It's your strength, and it's something that's continuous, Lord. I pray that you would help us to continue to put on your strength, that you would help us to continue to walk in that strength, because, Lord, I know there are so many times in our life where, Lord, though it's continuous, Lord, we step out of it for whatever reasons or walk away from it, Lord, not intentionally, but just we get caught up in our own things, that we lose focus of what everything is about, and it's all about you, Lord. It's serving you. It's loving you. It's giving our lives to you, being called to love you and serve you in the way that you've called us to, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to continue to walk in your strength, Lord. Help us to continue to keep our eyes open, especially here in this church, Lord. Lord, as a new church plant, we haven't seen the enemy show his face in places like other churches have seen, and Lord, but we know he wants to, and we know he wants to do whatever he can do to bring division in this church. And Lord, I just pray your covering right now. I pray your covering over this church, Lord, that this church is your army, Lord, who you have called to stand firm and to reach out to others in our community, to draw them in so that they too can stand firm in who you are and that they too can experience the victory that you have for them, Lord. We just pray that you help us keep our eyes open. The attacks of the enemy that he tries to bring into this church and into our lives, Lord, I pray that you help us to stay strong, to come against the enemy, Lord, and to seek you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Which means all other things will fall into place, Lord, which means the enemy will be behind us because that's where his place is. So, Lord, we just say this morning, Satan, get behind us. And, Lord, we seek to serve you and to love you in all that we do, Lord. thank you for this morning. Pray that you just continue to bless our day to day, Lord, as we go out from this place, as we, those that are sticking around, as we hang out, being together, Lord, with our common meal, Lord, that you just bless our time, that it would be a time of encouragement, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer for this church, Lord, that we wouldn't see the backbiting and things that happen in churches, but Lord, we would be a church that supports one another, that encourages one another, that strengthens one another in you, Lord Jesus. That iron that sharpens iron, Lord, may that happen in our time together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.